I have the privilege and the honor today to give the message, so I'm just so thankful for that. As I was praying about, God, what did you want to speak to me first and then to the church today? God, what was the message, Lord, that you have today? There was a few words that kind of kept coming to my mind, and that was things that are worth fighting for. I was like, okay, Lord. If you can turn your Bibles or open your Bible app, whatever you prefer to use, to Colossians 1:25. The Apostle Paul, he's speaking to a church here in Colossae, a church that he had never met personally, but he had heard about the amazing things that God was doing there because of this dear friend named Epaphras. And Epaphras is telling him all this great news and also some of the struggles that are going on in the Colossae church. Colossians 1:25. So Paul says, I have become its servant. He's meaning the church and the minister of the gospel, the ministry of the gospel. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles, non-Jewish people, the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I'm absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm in your faith Christ is. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for your word. God, I thank you for this picture of the supremacy of Christ, that you are high and lifted above all things, above all situations, above all circumstances, above all ideas, above all struggles. God, I thank you for this picture here today. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, leave this place with an even fuller view, Lord, of who you are and what you want to do in our lives. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so when I think about things that are worth fighting for and things that are not, or early on, my wife and I, we have 6 kids, 5 girls, and 1 boy. And early on, we realized that there are some things that are worth fighting for, hills that are worth dying on, if you've heard that old adage, and hills that are not. Okay, one of those hills that I think is worth fighting for is, not allowing our kids to run out in traffic. That is a hill that I'm going to fight for every day, you know. And just the other day, actually, I had the little guy. He was just convinced he was going to go over this bump that he thought this was this awesome jump with his little bike. And he was just going to go right into traffic. And I'm like, no, buddy. This is not what you... And I had to do it like 10 times. Bring him back. No, we can't do this. That's a hill that I'll fight on every day. I'll make sure. Why? Because I want to make sure that my kids are protected, right? There's other hills that I don't think are worth fighting for as much. You might be in disagreement with me here, but for those of you that have been here for a little while, you've seen the Nordby family show up with different hair fashions quite frequently. Some, you know, that decide they want to put ponytails in the front and in the back and the sides and little barrettes here and there. Some that also think they're their own hairstylist, so there's little haircuts that they'll come in with. Those are hills that I don't believe are worth fighting for or dying on. I've tried to for the first couple kids, and it scarred them. So we're done. We're not fighting on those hills anymore. Those are hills I don't think that are worth fighting for. But the Apostle Paul, he wrote this letter to Christians living in a small city, like I said, Colossae, and it's probably written around AD 62. Paul was in prison in Rome, and there was this dangerous teaching that was threatening the church of Colossae. It was one that lessened the role of Christ in their life. This was a born-again believing church, but it was starting somewhat, some other people were coming in, and they were starting to get these different ideas in the church. And Paul was hearing from his good friend Epaphras that there was some dangerous stuff that was starting to happen. It was lessening the role of Christ in their lives. He began this letter with really warm words of encouragement and thankfulness for them, but very quickly he began to address these hills that were worth fighting on. One of the things that he said in Colossians 1:25 is this Christ being revealed. He said that Paul became its servant to get this gospel out, that the word of God would be preached in its fullness, and that there would be this mystery that has been concealed for a while that is now revealed, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Who likes a good mystery here? A story or movie? I went to one of those, what are those rooms called? The escape rooms, where you have to like figure out all the different things to escape this room so that the room doesn't blow up. And we failed this last mission, but I'm still here, so obviously, it's just all pretend. But it's fun, because you go through this room, and you're trying to find all these different mysteries of, oh man, how maybe if we, you know, should we cut the red wire, the black wire, whatever, you know, it's just this mystery throughout the room that we're trying to investigate for like an hour or so. There was this one mystery here when we were in Guatemala. And we were just dog tired. Every time we would hit the bed, we would just crash. Ollie, you said you just went on a mission ship recently to Cuba. I'm sure you understand what that was like. It was just like, boom, as soon as you hit the bed, right? Well, as tired as we were, and as hard as you thought you were sleeping, there would be these things in the middle of the night that would wake us up. And it'd be like 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock, and it was just this big boom, boom, boom. We're like, what in the world? And for the first few days, we had no idea what was going on. Well, here we find out, we did a little research, talked to the directors. Here's these things called bombas. And has anybody heard of bombas before? So bombas are like fireworks without the pretty fireworks without the lights. It's just like gunpowder and these like shells. And I guess there's a few different ways you can use these bombas, but in that culture, what they do is if someone's having a birthday, they find out when that person was born, and and they go by their windowsill and they light off these bombas. And so it could be 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. And it's just like, boom, right? It's just like, who would love to wake up with that? Like, that's not a friend for me. Like, happy birthday? I don't know about that. But those were bombas that were going off. That was a mystery that was finally revealed about halfway through our trip. I was like, oh my goodness, it was not so fun. But it was good to know that there wasn't like a war going on or anything like that. Paul says there's this great mystery about Christ in you, the hope of glory. I believe to understand this mystery, we need to go back at the beginning, kind of the origin story. Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. A little bit further down, it says, God created mankind in his own image. So there's a spirit, there's something that was different between humans and animals. There's a distinction. He made us in his own image. And God said that it was very good when he created man, male and female. Genesis 2, God gave a command to this male and female, and he said, you're able to eat anything in the garden, right? Some of us have heard of this. You're able to eat anything in the garden, but there's one place, one tree that you cannot eat of. And that's the tree, the knowledge of good and evil. Because if you eat from this tree, what's going to happen? You certainly are going to die. And then you see this dialogue in chapter 3, just three chapters later, of this dialogue between this serpent named Satan. And he's talking to Eve, and he's saying things like, did God really say you must not eat from this tree? And Eve's like, yeah, God actually did say that. We can eat of all of these trees, but we can't eat of this tree. And then he said things like, yeah, you know why he's doing that? He's doing that because if you eat of this tree, you know what's going to happen? You're going to become like God, and you'll know the distinction between good and evil. And it says that she started to look at the tree, and she saw that it was this fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom. So she took some and ate it. And it says at that very moment that the eyes of both of them were open and they realized they were naked. They were before, but they realized they had this shame now that came with it. They sewed fig leaves together and they made coverings for themselves. Then the man and the wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of day, and they hid from the Lord. But the Lord God called to man, where are you? He answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. Before that, you see this beautiful relationship, this communion between God and man. It's this beautiful thing. And then suddenly you see this part, what we call sin, entering to this world, and now there's this shame that comes with it, and they're hiding. It says in Colossians 1:21, it says that we're alienated from God, and we're enemies in our minds because of our evil behavior. This is what we're born into. There's an alienation now. There's a separation between God and man. Romans 3, it says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Ephesians 4, it says that they were darkened in their understanding and alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance in them due to the hardness of their heart. There's a hardening now between God. Outside of God's mercy and grace, revealing a plan to be in perfect relationship with him through Christ, we have a natural bend towards what? Towards sin. We have this natural bend towards sin. We want our own things. We want our own rules, and you can see it hasn't gotten us very far, has it, this creation, right? You see the hate, you see the violence, you see the corruption on all different scales. Outside of our families and inside of our families, you see this, right? In our homes, in our very homes, you see this, right? There's this tendency to want to be like God. This is what we want. We'll have it our way, right? A problem is that it says in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I heard it said before that in the Old Testament, there's this concealing. There's this you see the fall of man. You see that where sin enters this world, and then you see these people rise up, almost Christ-like figures, rising up and bringing hope to the people again and leading them, right? But then they fail and fall. And you realize really quickly throughout the whole Old Testament, it's like, oh, maybe there's hope. And no, it's just another human being. Maybe there's hope, right? But there's this, during that time, there's a concealing of showing that there needs to be a Savior, but it's concealed most of the Old Testament. But then you see in the New Testament, there's this revealing that happens, that there's this Savior, there's this anticipation in the Old Testament, something needs to change, we don't know what it's going to be, and then you see this revealing of this figure named Jesus Christ that comes on the scene. So who is this Jesus? I'm glad you asked. Colossians, right in the book of Colossians. I just love how Paul talks about Jesus in the book of Colossians and many of the different letters that he writes. But man, he has just this picture. I believe like while he was writing this down, it was like the Holy Spirit himself was just showing the revelation of who Christ is. And Paul is probably like, oh, this is amazing, you know, as he's writing. But he says this. He says, the Son, who's Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn, meaning supremacy, over all creation. For in him all things were created. Just think about that. In him all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Paul, I believe, is trying to get something across here. Because of our sin, we are separated from God's plan. But because of Christ and his fullness, we can have a relationship with God again. Amen? Man, thank you, Jesus. For God, it says, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. Thank you, Jesus. It says in Colossians, this is the rescue story. He's rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So now you see this revealing, why it's so important, this revealing of Christ in me, the hope of glory, Christ in you, the hope of glory. There is an important reason for that, because outside of Christ, do we have hope? We have no hope outside of Christ. Spoiler alert. We have no hope outside of Christ. In Christ, though, the hope of glory, the hope of reconciliation, the hope of our spirits coming alive in him. And Paul says, this is a hill worth dying on every day. I'm going to make sure that I'm going to fight for this hill. I'm going to make sure people know the gospel in its fullness, the word of God in its fullness. He was on a mission for these newer believers in Colossae. He was on a mission that the word of God in its fullness was going to be revealed, that they were going to be rooted and grounded, if you look at the beginning again, they're rooted and grounded in faith that they were taught, and that no one would take them captive in thoughts or ideas that would come against the truth of God. Parents, grandparents, spiritual parents, we have a special day today because in a little bit we get to eat some goodies, get to buy a bunch of goodies, right, and crafts that the kids made. But why? Why are we doing this today? Just so we can sing songs about Jesus being our superhero, watch the kids dance, and have a good time at the bake sale. Is that why we're doing it? No. We're doing it because you chose here today. You came here because you're fighting for these kids. you're contending. That's what, when Paul says he's contending for the church at Laodicea and Colossae, he's fighting for them. It is a battle, right? It is a battle that's going on for these kids. I look in this room and it's just amazing to see those parents, grandparents, spiritual parents that have no biological kids of their own, but they're willing to fight. They're coming in the fight here and they're saying, this is worth a hill worth dying on all day long. I'm going to make sure that I'm going to fight for these kids to hear the gospel, the word of God in its fullness. Man. My question is, are we fighting the battles that are worth fighting for today, these last couple years? Have we been fighting battles that have been drawing us away from the truth of the gospel? Have we been dying on these hills that we really shouldn't be fighting on? We've been fighting a spiritual battle with physical weapons, right? We've been putting up signs. We've been doing all these things to fight these battles that should be fought on our knees. They need to be fought on our knees. That's the only way that we can win these battles, is crying out to Christ, Lord, please, I don't know what is going on right now with my daughter. God, I ask in the name of Jesus, would you please break through in her life? God, please, for my son, I don't know what's happening right now, God. I see him getting closer, but then I see him going apart, God. I just ask that you would break through in his life. These are the battles we should be fighting in the ways that we should be fighting. In Christ's power, Paul says that he doesn't fight in his own power. He makes it clear. What has he said? He says, I'm contending for you with all of the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. It's not your battle to fight alone. You can't do it. I can't do it. God reminds me that over and over again in our family. There's things, breakthroughs that need to happen in our family. There's breakthroughs that need to happen in the Wednesday night and Sunday mornings. And I can't do this on my own. I need to get on my knees. There is a battle going on right now for the kids' minds. They're being taught so many things that are contrary to the truth. You know that, right? So many things in the school, but not just in school, on social media. All of these, their friends, all of these different things they're being just inundated with day in, day out. This is the truth. This is the truth. Conform, 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 right? It is our job. It is our job to fight for them. It is our job. I don't care if your kids are grown up and out of the house. It is your job to stand in the gap. It is my job to stand in the gap right now and pray for these kids. Pray for them. Disciple them. Come alongside them. Whatever that looks like. This is what we do at Friendship. We're fighting that everyone knows the greatness of Jesus, the love of Jesus, the forgiveness that Jesus offers, and that they're not too far from the grasp of Jesus. That's why we allow some kids in here that push every single button of ours. Where you're like, oh, wow, I didn't think I would want to respond like this, you know? Like, oh my goodness, what are you? You know, we have kind of a saying here, and Tom, we've said it many times before, the story is never over. Because these kids, some of these kids that have been in some pretty rough houses, they'll, you know, walk out, run out, and I'll never come back, right? A couple weeks later, sometimes a couple months or even a year later, they come back in. The story's never over. As long as we're fighting, as long as we're standing in the gap. How do we fight? To close, we fight. Paul lays it out right here in Colossians 1:9. We pray. We get in our knees and we pray. And we make sure that we're praying with Christ's power, not with our own. Another thing is we get in community. If you don't have a church, if you're not part of a church, you're welcome here. You're welcome here. We should get in a community of believers to help fight. Maybe there's battles going on right now with your own kids and you can't fight. You feel like you've got nothing left to fight. That's why you have a community of believers right here to fight with you, to fight for you, right? In a little bit, I want to just pray for our community. I want to pray for our kids, your own kids, kids on Wednesday night, kids here on Sunday, kids in the community. But before we do that, again, what is the mystery revealed? Christ in me, the hope of glory. If you don't have Christ in you, you can't pray for these kids. You have to have Christ in you, the hope of glory, to be able to pray for these kids, to be able to pray for your neighbors and your community. And so in a little bit, Alex is going to actually show what we do here on Wednesday nights. It's been so special. I'm not going to ruin it, Alex, but it's been so special to see what God's doing here with prayer. Alex and Jessica and the kids' leaders, it's really been neat to see these kids have a desire to pray. Like, it's not just, you know, it used to be kind of, you know, pray for my dead goldfish, you know, things like that, right? But now it's like, hey, I need you to pray for mom. I don't know why she keeps on drinking. I don't know why she's going to this. I don't know what's going on here with uncle. I don't know. And it's like these in-depth prayers. They're seeing that this is a place where they can cry out and they can give everything to Jesus. And so it's just amazing. So I'm going to have Alex come up here. Alex, you can come on up here. But I just thought we would pray to close, and then in a little bit he'll give instructions of what to do. But we would pray to close. We'll pray what's found in Colossians 1:29. Paul says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God."